You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. Continuing with our Purim theme from last week, I'd like to take a look at Charvona, who is popularly known as Charvona. Charvona appears twice in Megillat Esther. His first, rather inconspicuous appearance, is in Perek Aleph, where he is listed with six other eunuchs, Sarisim, of the king, who are told to bring Vashti to Achashverosh during his, very long party at the beginning of the story. We probably would have paid him no more attention than we do, say, Zaytar or Avagtar or any of the other eunuchs, meaning not much attention at all, if it were not for his reappearance in Perek Zayin Pasuk Tet. There, Achashverosh has just walked in on Haman, who was falling over Esther on her bed, and he has just accused... And Esther has just accused, of course, Haman of plotting to kill her people. At that moment, Charvona steps in. Vayomer Charvona, echad min hasarisim, lifnei hamelech, gam hine haetz asher asa Haman, lemordechai, asher diber tov al hamelech, omed bevet Haman, gavo ha-chamishim ama. And Charvona says, there's that etz, right? The gallows. I suppose you could understand it as a tree, literally, but I think most understand it as a gallows, which Haman has made for Mordechai. You know Mordechai, the one who spoke well for the king, meaning the one who saved the king from Bigtan Vateresh, right, earlier in the story. Omed beveit Haman, it is standing there in Beit Haman, gavoa chamishimama, right, 50 cubits high, right, vayomer hamelech tluhu alav, and the king says, hang him upon it. And Haman is hung. Right? And so suddenly, everyone is wondering, understandably, who is this Charvona? Now, my earliest memory of any sort of thought about Charvona, and this is probably true with a lot of people, is that song, Vigam, 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 Charvona, right, which was a favorite of my elementary school principals. It's a song with a catchy tune and very few words, and it kind of sticks in the brain. And, of course, that comes from the somewhat wordier song we sing after the Megillah. Right, after we've read the Megillah and the reader says the last bracha, right? So we sing the song, right? Shoshanat Yaakov, Sahala v'Samicha. And at the end of that song, we have the curses and the blessings. Arur Haman Asher Bikesh Labdi, Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi. Right? Cursed is Haman who tried to kill us. Blessed is Mordechai HaYehudi, etc., etc., right? Arura Zeresh Eshet Mafchidi, Brucha Esther Ba'adi, Arurim Kol Rishayim, Bruchim Kol HaTzadikim, right? Vigam Charvona Zachor Latov. In my mind, this song has always emphasized, the very farcical, almost comical nature of Megillat Esther, which at least on the surface, is a story about black and white, heroes and villains, right? Mordechai and Esther, they are the real heroes, i.e. the tzaddikim. The twirly mustached Haman and his wife Zeresh are the villains. Arurim kol ha-rishayim, bruchim kol ha-tzaddikim, right? We're having black and white, good and evil, set up in contrast in this piyut. And at the end of the song, Gam Charvona Zachor Latov. Oh yes, and there's Charvona. He's a good guy, right? We remember him well, right? He doesn't quite fit that mold, right? And one wonders, what to do with that. One explanation of Charvona Zachor Latov stems from Rabbi Elazar's comment in Mesechet Megillah, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Charvona Rasha, Beota Eitza Haya, right? Charvona was a bad guy, and he was in that same Eitza with Haman, right? That same evil advice that Haman gave the king to kill all of the Jews. This might be one of a number of sources where there's a lot of play going on between Eitza and Eitz. אף חרבונה רשע באותה עצה היה, כיוון שראה שלא נתקיימה עצתו, מיד ברח. Right? He was a bad guy. He was on the wrong side of the story. He was in cahoots with Haman. Right? But when he sees that Haman's about to go down, he immediately jumps to the other side. Right? And that's when he suggests what he suggests. Right? This is what it says, Rabbi Elazar says in the Gemara and Megillah. And this comment connects to what Rabbeinu Bechaye says later on in his attempt to interpret Harvona's name, right? He says Harvona, it's Harvo or Harbo, na, now. His sword now, meaning that Harvona, who was once kind of like the sword of Haman, right? He was, I guess you could say, like the henchman of Haman, now becomes the sword against Haman. You know, his malach hamavet is how he puts it, the one who hastens Haman's death. Right? In the pshat of the pasuk, Harvona brings about Haman's downfall merely by the power of suggestion. He never says to hang Haman. Right? He never makes that suggestion to the king that he should hang Haman on that tree, on that etz, that gallows. He merely mentions its existence, right? Together with the fact that Haman wanted to use it for the man who had saved Ahasuerus's life, and he let the king come to his own obvious conclusion. According to a midrashic reading of the word gam, right? In the phrase gam hine ha'etz, right? The word gam is like an inclusive sort of word, which is, you know, that type of, it's meant to include something else, and the Midrash picks up on this, of course. And so in a Midrashic reading found in Targum Sheni on the Megillah, Harvona suggests that Haman wanted to use this etz also to hang Ahasuerus himself, right, and thereby making himself, meaning Haman, king. Right, and if Harvona was really suggesting this, you know, this midrashic reading, that, you know, certainly would put the final nail in Haman's coffin. So, according to this understanding of Harvona, it's hard to call him a tzaddik, right? In the same way that we look at Mordechai and Esther, right? After all, he was in cahoots with Haman at the beginning, but at the end of the day, he will be remembered for good, right? He did tshuva at the last minute. He switched sides. He helped us out, right? So he will be remembered at the end of the day for good. Another more likely understanding of Harvona's role and why he is categorized under can be found from Midrashim, which appear in late Midrashic works such as Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and Esther Rabbah, which identify Harvona as Eliyahu Hanavi. So I'll read first the version of the Midrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Amar HaMelech, Harasha Hazeh, Lo dayo shekana et ishti lehashmid ulaharog ulaabed. It's not bad enough that this Rasha Haman, Ahasuerus is saying, bought my wife in order to kill her, right? Meaning when he bought, so to speak, the Jews from Ahasuerus to kill them off. Ela rotze lavo aleha hagam lichpos et hamalkai mi babayit. Right? Remember, in this point in the story, Ahasuerus walks in as Haman is in a very compromising position over the bed of Esther, falling over her bed. Right? Hagam lichpos et hamalkai mi babayit. You also wish to conquer the queen, the king says to Haman. Vishama Haman et hadavar hazeh v'naflu panav. Right? Haman hears this. His face falls. Right? He knows that this is not good. Shene'emar upnei Haman chafu. V'tziva ha'melech litloto. And the king immediately orders him to be hung. Al ha'etz. On the gallows. Be'ota sha'ah ma'asa Eliyahu zachur latov. At this moment, what did Eliyahu zachur latov what did Eliyahu do? Nidme l'charvona, echad misarisei ha'melech, amar lo, Adoni ha'melech, yesh etz beveito shel Haman. Eliyahu steps in and suggests to the king, you know, there's this gallows in Beit Haman, in the house of Haman. Right? Here, the king, in this version of the Midrash, had already decided to hang Haman. Right, and Charvona, Eliyahu in disguise, according to the Midrash, merely suggests a particular etz, a particular gallows. In the version of the Midrash in Esther Rabbah, which we'll see later, it is Charvona's mention of the etz which Haman had prepared for Mordechai, which leads the king to declare that Haman should be hung at all. Right, and both are possible readings of the text. In the first, the king's reaction to Charvona's words is tluhu alav. Right, okay, we're going to hang him, let's hang him on that one. In the second, he's merely saying tluhu alav. Okay, let's hang him. Even before we go on to read other versions of this Midrash, we can already begin to play with this idea of Charvona being Eliyahu. The Ibn Ezra, who quotes this Midrash, points out that there are two approaches to this type of Midrash, right? Something which we've discussed in the context of Midrash in these podcasts on many occasions. Right? The Ibn Ezra says, Charvona, on the Pasuk in Perek Zayin, Yesh omrim ki Eliyahu zachur latov. Nidme lemelech kidmut saris. Right? So there are those who say, right, he's quoting the Midrash here, that Eliyahu Zachor Latov kind of disguised himself as one of the Sarisim of the king, right? One approach is that we are meant to understand this literally. Eliyahu disguised himself as Charvona and said what he said, right? The Ibn Ezra continues, right? This is in the second Girsa of his Perush, Nusach Bet. Ulefi da'ati, my own personal opinion, shehatam, right? The meaning of this midrash, shezeh ha-saris, hu ha-niskar b'tchilat ha-sefer. Kihu mi mehazayin hasarisim, mishivat hasarisim, right? Right. The my own opinion is that this guy Charvona is one of the Charvona is the Charvona we saw at the beginning of the Megillah, right? He's one of the seven sarisim mentioned at the beginning of the Megillah, right? We're talking about the actual person Charvona. It is Charvona here. Oseh tov liYisrael uba Yeshua al yado ki ilu Eliyahu zachor latov. Right, haya shehu hamivaser bevo haYeshua. Right, so it's not that this person is actually Eliyahu, Ibn Ezra is pointing out, but rather that he's acting in a very Eliyahu-ish kind of way. Now, I'm not sure that the bottom line message of the Midrash is all that different depending on which of these two approaches to Midrash you follow, right? Because if one were to believe that the Midrash is speaking literally, then one has to understand that why the Midrash or how the Midrash can claim that when the Megillah says Charvona really was Eliyahu, meaning what about Charvona's behavior suggests that this is really Eliyahu? Or, according to the second approach, what about Charvona's words, what he says, or his behavior would have the Midrash suggest that Charvona is acting in a very Eliyahu-esque sort of way, right? So obviously there is a difference, but the lesson to be learned is basically the same. How is Charvona like Eliyahu here? Answering this, of course, requires a bit of a refresher on Eliyahu. In Tanakh, Eliyahu is a fire and brimstone loner sort of Navi. He has no tolerance for the transgressions, for the chataim of Am Yisrael, and no understanding of why Hashem would have compassion on them rather than give them punishment that they deserve. According to at least one way of understanding the stories in Malachim Aleph, Hashem spends a not small amount of time trying to teach Eliyahu that sometimes compassion is in order, meaning that he's being too harsh. Later in Tanakh and in Midrashim, Eliyahu continues in the same vein, but with a different tone, right? There's a different approach. In Sefer Malachi, right, the last book of Nevi'im, he is the harbinger of the Geula, right? Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanora. Before the coming of the great day of judgment of Hashem at the end of days, right, I'm going to send you first Eliyahu Navi. And it is appropriate in the context there in Sefer Malachi, which speaks of the era in which the righteous will be rewarded and the evil will be punished, that Eliyahu be the one to usher in this new age, right? The age of justice, of divine justice. In the many, many midrashim and traditions about Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu kind of flits around in disguise, you know, meeting out justice, helping the righteous, and making sure the bad guys get their due reward. He is the guest we all greet at our Seder, just when we remind Hashem to punish our enemies, right? He is invited to every Brit Milah, either as an appropriate witness to the continuation of the Brit, which he so zealously protected, or possibly a way of showing him, you see, the people do keep Hashem's covenant after all. What does this all have to do with Ahasuerus's Persian eunuch? Well, for one, Charvona behaves a lot like Eliyahu does in many midrashim. He kind of appears out of nowhere. Right? Did we even know that anyone else was in the room? He says something which turns the story around, and then he disappears. Indeed, it is very Eliyahu-like to disguise himself as the least likely of heroes, the beggar, the servant, the wandering merchant, right? As Shlomo Karbach might have said, you never know, right? Eliyahu's stories tell us that help comes from unexpected places and that things are not always what they seem, right? A theme, by the way, not inappropriate for the Purim story. The Ibn Ezra brings the point about Charvona into focus when he says, as you might recall from what I read before, "Ulefi dati shehatam shezeh hasaris hu haniskar b'tchilat ha-sefer ki hu mizayin hasarisim asa tova liYisrael uba ha-yishua al yado ki ilu Eliyahu zachor la-tov haya shehu ha-mevaser b'vo ha-yishua." Charvona is Eliyahu-like because he like Eliyahu, ushers in the salvation. He is the one who finally brings down the enemy in the story of Purim. Charvona's Eliyahu-like qualities do not end there, however. By suggesting that Haman be hung on Mordechai's gallows, he is the first one in the story to voice the idea that there's a pattern in this story of Purim. Right? He's the first one to kind of show us the Nahafohu. That Charvona is a guy who kind of puts the whole story together is suggested already by the Targum, Sheni, right, that I mentioned earlier, right, where it says that Charvona hints to the king that Haman was a threat to the king himself, right, a notion that Esther was certainly trying, at least according to one reading of the story, to plant in her husband's mind. Right, we see that Charvona there also is a very, very astute, and he kind of figured it all out. Charvona's astuteness here, however, right, moves from his ability to observe the tactical to into the realm of the theological. Right, he understands that behind the scenes of events that seem devoid of justice, devoid of a divine hand, that seem devoid of pattern or meaning, that someone is pulling the strings. Someone really does have a plan. It is this message of the ultimate nature of divine justice that lurks behind every Eliyahu story. And it is brought to light by Charvona's cameo in the Megillah. The version of the Midrash that we read earlier in Esther Rabbah, where Charvona's words lead Ahasuerus to hang Haman, right, at all, right, plants the idea of hanging Haman at all in Ahasuerus' mind, emphasizes the idea of divine justice, right? That's what Charvona is kind of standing for in that version of the Midrash. The version of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where Charvona's words merely suggest that the eitz which should be used to hang Haman is the one that was meant for Mordechai, that emphasizes the idea of the divine pattern, right? That only in a divinely guided event could the symmetry and the irony, and of course the justice, midah keneged midah, be so perfect. And finally, it is in the version of the Midrash from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, of that same Midrash which I read earlier from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, but the version that appears in Esther Rabbah, that we might find the answer to my early childhood question of why Charvona is dafka zachor latov. So there it says in Midrash, in Esther Rabbah, Vayomer HaMelech, Hagam lichvosh et hamalka imi babayit. Right, are you trying to conquer the queen with me in the house? He says to Haman. Vishama Haman hadavar hazeh v'naflu panav. Right, Haman's face falls. Ma'asa Eliyahu zachor latov. Nidmele Charvona, right? Eliyahu disguises himself as Charmona. We've seen all this already. Ve'amar lo, Adoni HaMelech, gam yinei ha'etz asher asah Haman leMordechai v'gomer. Right? This is the same as we saw before. We've heard this before. The Midrash here, however, then continues with another statement. De'amar Rabbi Pinchas, tzarich lomar Charmona zachor latov. Right, this midrash makes the connection between Eliyahu zachor latov and Charmona zachor latov. Right, that phrase Eliyahu zachor latov is you know, that's how we refer to Eliyahu. Right, and so the reason that Charmona is zachor latov is because he is like Eliyahu. Right, in the Megillah, right, the role of Eliyahu is played by Charmona. And that is why it is most appropriate to say, V'gam Charmona zachor latov. Chag Purim Sameach to everybody.